My dog trainer for my new 11-month-old pup is a former first grade teacher, and she's really strict. And I feel like when she gives a command to the dog, I'm getting the command too, and I'm standing. But even though she even speaks to the dog in German, and she's rescued, she's been part of a rescue well over 280 other German Shepherd dogs, so she knows what she's doing. But what she can get the dog to do, Bella, to do anything. It's amazing. In just a couple of hours, it makes me look like, anyway, that's all right. I'm working on it. But what's fascinating is she's really loving with the dog, and Bella absolutely loves her. So when she sees her, she gets all excited. I'm thinking, but I'm loving and kind to you. You don't give me that much attraction. But then you get all excited when you see her, and she's really strict. And we tend to think it's one or the other, that you're either strict or loving, when really, in this case, it's both and. It's both strict and loving and kind. And it's that very image that this contrast between two apparent contrasts, if you would, between two different extremes, if you would, that we hear in today's scripture that is also part of life. In the first reading, we hear the Holy Spirit is driving like a driving wind with tongues of fire. And that's kind of on that extreme. And then in the gospel, Jesus calmly arrives among them and says to disciples behind the locked doors, "Peace be with you." And he breathes on them and gives them, he says, sends them out. "I send you out as I've been sent, so you are sent. Whose sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. Whose sins are retained, they're retained." There's this gentle presence. And the question is, well, which is it? Which is the Holy Spirit? Is it this driving spirit and fire and wind and fire? Or is it this gentle, kind spirit? Well, again, it's not either or, it's both and. And that is the truth of most of the biblical. This will appear constantly throughout the scriptures. We'll see it over and over again. In fact, this harkens back to the very beginning of the scripture in the Genesis, when the Lord created the world, and there was this mighty, almighty wind that blew over the earth, and they created the earth from there. In contrast to, and he breathed into their nostrils and gave them life. This driving wind and this gentle presence. And the reality is that is true for all of Scripture. Most all of Scriptures, it's never either or, but it's both and. But truth be told, that's probably the way it is for life too. Life is not so binary in things for us. It's always a both and, not an either or. And the challenge, and it certainly is true for us as church, that it is this both and not either or. That we are this universal church that has a mission to save the world, but we do that locally here in our community, just us. There is this driving force that the Pope gives us, this sort of missionary. We need to be missionary disciples to go out to the ends of the world, to the margins of society. But we also know as a community that we need to tend to our own home, our own homebound, our own sick, those who are in need of everyday care. That it's not an either or of ministry, but a both and of ministry. The church is also understands that these gifts that are given through the Holy Spirit are given to us as individuals. But on one hand, and that's what the second reading today from Corinthians is, each one has been given the gift of the Spirit, and each has a gift, and that gift is given each individual member of the church, but it's given for the good of all. Given that there is this community, one body of Christ, that there is one Lord and there is one Spirit. And we're reminded that there is, again, even there's this this bipolar of one extreme is given to us individuals, but yes, it's also given to us the Holy Spirit. That in the Acts of the Apostles, we'll hear time and time again how the Holy Spirit was imparted upon a disciple or a group of disciples But then we hear in today's gospel that they were huddled in a room and the Spirit came upon them because Jesus gently gave it to them as a group. And there lies the tension again between individually and as a community. That we're given the gifts for us and be given the gifts for the use of all. And that is the reality of us as church. Is that, and the question is then, how do we know when the Spirit is moving in our life? And when it's this driving force calling us to get out of our comfort zone and to do something that we find quite difficult to do, and we need that fire in the belly to do it. Versus when the same Holy Spirit comes and calms us down and says to not move and to remain quiet and peaceful, and that we do not say and we do not do, that we remain instead quiet. So how do we know where the movement of the Spirit is coming from? Well, you've heard me say it thousands of times, that we have to be men and women of prayer. That we have to be able to know the voice of Christ and to recognize the movement of the Spirit. Because the same movement of the Spirit that we see from our Holy Spirit can be a movement of the bad spirits that will try and get us to do the exact opposite in the opposite way. And so we have to learn to know where is the Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit calling us to. And that even in the midst of that driving spirit or fire in the belly, we know that it's conviction of the Holy Spirit that's calling us to move out and to go to the peripheries of our society, to go to the margins and to minister to those who are most in need. But then there are other times we're called to tend to our elderly grandparent or elderly parent, or to simply minister to our own children and to be calm and to be gentle. And the only way we know how to do that is by becoming attentive to the Spirit in our own lives, to becoming close to Jesus and knowing how His movement works. And if we're honest, that's hard work. Because there is always another movement, the movement of the evil spirits trying to get us to do otherwise. And so we have to become really, really smart at this, really disciplined at this. And that's why we come each Sunday. We come each Sunday because it's so hard that not only do we need the strength of Jesus in the bread and the wine made into His body and blood, but we need to see the strength of other people. We need the encouragement of each other to say, we're all working at this. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to listen to the movement of the Spirit in our own lives and so attend to it and be moved by the Spirit and not to be driven by an alternate force, one that might be selfishly motivated, one that might hurt us or hurt the community we try to serve. Instead, we're called to move with the Spirit. And that's why we come each Sunday, to be nourished here, but to do the work out there in our own hearts and in the community. And that's why we come each and every Sunday. Now, I want to apply that teaching and that understanding of how the Holy Spirit works to us as a particular community and something that we have to address ourselves. We just finished our annual diocesan appeal. And in that annual diocesan appeal, we have exceeded our goal by about $10,000 to $12,000. And that's wonderful. So thank you for many of you, those who have given to the annual diocesan appeal and allowed us to exceed it. And now all that money that goes over the goal comes back to us as a local community. The challenge is that normally we bring in well over $100,000 over our goal. And so now that means we're $100,000 short this year. And there's several hundred parishioners who've decided to not to give to the annual diocesan appeal this last year. And I understand the reasons for it, because many of you have told me that you're upset at the Universal Church and you're upset at the way the diocese has handled things. And I get that. The problem is that we're punishing our own local ministries. And the net effect ends up happening. And I know you want to vote with your pocketbook and your checkbook. That makes sense. But unfortunately, the one who's going to hurt is our local community. And I get that there are many reasons beyond that to withhold from the diocese. But we are both a local church and we are a international universal church as well as a national church. So in talking with the finance committee said, well, let's have the community decide. Because the only way to solve this problem is we would have to make cuts on our actual local programs. And I think we do great work here and locally in what we do. And so there are many different projects that we have grown and we've taken time to grow over multiple years and that have cost a certain amount of money that keeps them going. And so what we've done is we've put together, and it's in the bulletin, a fund the need. And what we're asking you to do is that if you would specifically, those who have not given to the ADA or who have reduced the gift or would like to help us bridge this gap, is to fund one of those programs and to give a direct gift to those, and 100% of the money will go to that program and not to the diocese. But there are some small projects on that list, and there are some big ones. I mean, some of the ordinary, boring projects that we were planning to do is, like, we have to tent the parish hall and to termite. And that costs, you know, $14,000. We have to replace all the lights on the parking lot, overdue, and that's another $19,000. We have to replace plumbing in the church. But we also have the books, the prayer books we give away. That costs us $12,000 a year. And so I don't want to cut those programs. There are the Growing in Friendship with Jesus retreats. There's the liturgical supplies. There's a myriad of funded need opportunities, from all the way from $500 all the way up to $20,000. So what we're asking you to do is to vote with your pocketbook, but this time for our parish and for our ministries, to allow us to continue through our ministries. And I ask you if you would be generous to try and support that and to take that bulletin article or speak to a finance council member outside after Mass and to talk through why are those projects important to us. We would be glad to answer those questions. But it's a both and. We are an international church. Universal Church has made mistakes, and we are a local church that does great work and has great ministry. It's a both and. It's not an either or. And so we need to continue to support who we are as church, because what we do makes a difference. It is the movement of the Spirit here locally that we need to listen to, and not to the other spirits who are trying to drive us away from the good work that we do.